as your servant, Brother Brian, to bring about your will. Our plans, thoughts, is your will.
Amen. May be seated. We'll open our songbook, the Behold Songbook, to 158. Pardon the slow beginning, but we've been having trouble with people going to the .com site. The .net site seems to work fine, but the .com, I don't know if it was hacked or what, but we have little advertisements on it. You know, it's like for adopting children and other stuff like that. And I don't want to click on any of the links because I don't. But anyway, I've talked to the company, and I thought we got it straight. It's all straight here. When I tried it on my iPad this morning, it didn't, and I had people from Australia and from England and different countries, you know, say they're having trouble getting in. So, but if you're listening, just go to the Christian World Media, or just go to YouTube and watch on our YouTube channel. All right, I exalt thee. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God. For thou,
I looked upon none other can compare. I worship thee, my Lord, within the veil.
Amen. This time will change your order of service to prayer request, and we want to continue to pray for Brother Billy Paul and Brother Joseph Branham. I want to pray for my wife and Brother Michael, Brother Don, Sister Becky, and Suzanne's health issues. The Message Believers, their children who have returned to school. You know, schools are getting very, very perverted. There's a lot of things being taught in the schools that are just... I'm thankful I don't have children going, but I have grandchildren, and of course they're in a private school, but it's just not, the world is just trying to steal your children. I mean, they're just trying to steal their minds. I want to pray for Brother Mark Bailey's family in South Africa, and for the Keller family in Ohio. I want to pray for Sister Nisha Jenkins and Sister Jean Miller in the UK. Sister Dolores Caldwell and her daughter Naomi in Oregon. Sister Betty Phillips, who she had to have a surgery in the carotid. They had to put a stent in and a camera to check things out. So just keep her in prayer. She's been having some troubles. Also, Brother James isn't in the best shape either. He's had a few open heart surgeries. So we want to continue to pray for that family. That's Brother Collins' daughter and her husband. And, you know, she, Sister Betty, she spent a couple of years actually living with the Branhams down in Arizona. And her dad said, when Brother Branham asked, he said, well, if there's anybody else, I'd say no. But being it's Brother Branham, that's fine. So Brother Sim Severson, Brother Jan Ivan and Sigrun and children in Norway, Pastor Bernard Laborier in Switzerland, Marcus Jonker and his mother in Belgium, Brother Phil Abbott, Brother Conrad Francis and their families, Brother Daniel, Sister Heidi in Australia, Brother Bob Kerr in Australia as well, Brother Jean and his wife Christina Marie in France, and Brother Charlie and his church in Nantes, France. In his church, you have a sister who's translating the sermons, some of my studies into Arabic, so just keep her in prayer as well. Brother Nathan Ducharme and his family in Texas, Sister Lois and Dave and Wormager in Iowa, Brother Don and Sister Mary Hoffman. Mary has, you know, she still is fighting her cancer. And their family in church in Minnesota, Brother Mario Nina in Bolivia, that he'll have full control over his diabetes and his family. Brother Juan Carlos Placido in Argentina, just general health, he's 80-some years old. South Africa, Pastor Harold Beckett, Pastor Naomi Nadu, and Brother Grace McKendy. In Zimbabwe, Pastor Albert. In Malawi, Pastors Webster and Enoch. And in Zambia, Pastor Crispin Mawino. In Tanzania, Pastor Joseph Cheka. In Rwanda, Pastor Levy. Levi. In Uganda, Pastors Ben Caleb, Makina Phillip, Otaget Samuel, Samson Lubogo, Hannington Belita, Paul Musluby, Arthur Onyapur, and also his son has been paralyzed for several years. He tried to lift something too heavy on the job. That's how he came down with his paralysis. So something probably in the back snapped. In Congo, DRC, Pastors Bill Venga, Sylvain Benunga, and Jean-Claude Amini. In Congo Republic, Pastor Edmund Kiabia and his wife and children, other ministers there as well. There's about 8 young ministers. Cameroon, Pastor Ikimi Felix, 3 OMPAD pastors in the Philippines, Brother Ernie for radiation poisoning out in Washington, Sister Marcia Aslan, his wife. And the bride through this coronavirus and also the 5G poisoning. You don't realize it, but it's very possible that the people's immune systems are already weakened because of the 5G. And then when the coronavirus was let out of the labs, they kind of did their work. And then translators around the world were translating the sermons and the moral and ethical healing of this nation. And I know we won't see it, so you say, why pray for it? Well, we still want to pray as long as we're here. But there'll be moral and ethical healing in our homes, in our families, and in our or our ecosystem of the people we live with and talk with, and things like that. We're not going to read Psalm 91 at this time, just because of the length of the sermon this morning. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to ask you, Lord, to we just lift up all of these prayer requests before you, and all the unspoken requests, Lord, that are we raise our hands or our hearts to you, O God. And we just pray that you'd meet the needs of all of us. We pray for a special protection for Christina and Justin as they're traveling this weekend. And we just pray that you'd help them to have a wonderful time there as they're spending some time together. This is their anniversary. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would be with all of us during this time. And help us, Lord, through the coming months, believing possibly the resurrection will take place this spring. We kind of got our eyes, Father, on California. And we know that when California goes, that's our key to know that the resurrection is on. So, Father, we're looking for that time, knowing that Alpha must repeat in Omega. And, Lord, we're just committing our lives to you. Help us, Lord, each day to become more and more like your firstborn son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Now, let's turn to 213. One more song here, and Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed to us. His name is called Emmanuel. 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 His name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed to us, his name is called Emmanuel.
Mr. Palmer has a prayer.
Heavenly Father, we always count it a privilege to give a small portion back to you, Father. It's part of what you give us. We can't ever thank you enough for all that you do. Just to recognize it, so we might pray to you, Father.
Amen. Let's just stand to our feet and we'll sing Only Believe.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you once again for this beautiful day. Weather in the 60s, oh God, and the sun is shining, and the Son of God is shining in our heart. Father, we just ask you, Lord, that you would touch each and every one of us, Lord. May we examine ourselves daily, Lord, even hourly, even by every minute, oh God, just to make sure that if there be any otherwise minded, you said you would reveal it to us, so we're counting on that. We're asking you, Father, to just be with us, and in the morning, give me Jesus. When I walk alone, give me Jesus. And Lord, just give me Jesus all the time. And you are the Word. So, Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, the name that you gave him, the name you've given us, Jesus. Father, we just pray in that name and ask you to be with us today's service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to take a subject from paragraph 188, but we're going to begin with 187 to read. Brother Branham says, I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. You love him. Wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me the counselor, the prince of peace, the mighty God is he. Brother Branham is beginning to move into the psalm service, which is closing out the sermon. Mighty God is he. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Praise his name. I was lost. Now I'm found free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and full salvation. My Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me the counselor, the prince of peace. The mighty God is he. Oh, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Praise his name. Now, Brother Branham actually goes on for the next five paragraphs or so singing. And I was going to jump up to the very last paragraph because he says something that's very astounding. But as I even had the song in my notes that I said we're not going to read them all, but we're just going to forward to that last paragraph. And then I caught something he said in paragraph 188. So I had to stop my thinking and had to go back to what he says here. So he says, how many sees him standing, the mighty conqueror, the Word made flesh, unveiled before us, the Alpha, the Omega. He that was, which is, and shall come, the root and offspring of David. What was the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, and will be the Son of David. You believe it with all your heart. Unveiling himself in each age, brought it to the believer. Veiling himself in human flesh from the unbeliever. He is hid behind a veil. May God break every veil, and we see him as he is. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. He goes to singing again. When he sets you free on the other side of Jordan, in the sweet fields of Eden, where the trees of life is blooming, there is rest for me. Jesus breaks. Now, don't you want to cross Jordan now? Been long enough in the wilderness. Let's go over the promise. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Oh, when he sets you free. Let's raise our hands now. I will ever, ever praise him. I will ever, ever praise him. I will ever, ever praise him, for he set me free. Now, that's still singing. Okay, so let's stop just a moment and look at what he said in paragraph 188. He says, how many sees him standing, the mighty conqueror, the Word made flesh, unveiled before us, the Alpha, the Omega? And then he says, unveiling himself in each age. Now, you know, we think of God, the mighty God, unveiled in this age. But actually, he's saying in each age, God has been unveiled in a portion, brought to the believer, veiling himself in human flesh. Now, look, Martin Luther's human flesh was a veil. Just like Brother Veil is a veil. Brother Branham was a veil. Wesley was available. Martin Luther, I mean, he smoked cigars. He was kind of, you know, foul mouthed. When Martin Luther would publish his rants against the Pope, okay, he would draw a picture of a man standing with his head up his, you know what? contorted, like you've probably seen cartoons that way. Martin Luther did that, all right? So, you know, we get off our high horses and we get so sanctimonious and everything else, we fail to recognize we're men.
Right.
We're men. You know, I remember years ago, the first time I went out to visit Brother Vail, he had been there to Minnesota back in 76. In 78, I went out to visit him. No, 79. And so I was, you know, we had a really good talk, and I was asking questions and this and that. And Brother Vail's language is just, you know, pretty terse, pretty hard, crass, you might say. I went to bed that night, and in my sanctimonious way, I said, Lord, boy, he's crass. He's almost to the point of vulgar. And the Holy Spirit said, which of my prophets weren't crass? Which of my prophets weren't crusty? Which of my men that I've sent through the ages weren't that way? I got to thinking, well, John the Baptist came forth with locust breath and wearing just a loincloth and some sheep on his body. You know, I mean, they weren't polished. They weren't scholarly. They weren't the, you know, politically correct people. They were the opposite. So Brother Branham says, in every age, and I thought of Luther, you know, I bet you there's a lot of people because he, you know, he cussed. He smoked cigars, I know that. Just from reading the books and stuff. He drank wine. Then you come along John Wesley. He was more, you know, he was, first of all, he was highly educated, so he hung around with the prim and proper, and he was more sanctimonious, and he preached sanctification. All right, let's clean up the Martin Luther image. Let's clean up, you know. And but he still had his faults. And so men looked at those vessels and that turned them away. It was said, and I've got his biography, that John Wesley, he got invited to church after church after church. See, John Wesley, first of all, John Wesley was going nowhere. He had eight brothers in a Bible study, and he didn't have the pizzazz. He didn't have, you know. I remember the guy that wrote the biography said, you know, I forget his name. He was a great speaker in that day, and he said, when I heard this guy preach, he said, you know, I could. He said, I was a shipbuilder by trade, but he said I could just see the ship, everything just laid out perfectly, just, you know, and he would, you know. Very poetic, and, you know, hark, I hear the angels, you know, and people look around, you know, and he just draw people. He had this great flamboyant. Well, anyway, but he wasn't a messenger for the age, and because he didn't have the truth of the age. But John Wesley could hardly muster anybody to church. John Wesley went over to the United States to evangelize, because that's what this other guy, George Whitfield's the name of the other guy. George Whitfield had great success in America, so John Wesley came over. He's going to have great success, right? So John Wesley comes over, and there was a certain man who he had a daughter who was getting older, so he wanted her to sick after John Wesley. So John Wesley didn't want nothing to do with her, so the father came over with a gun. John Wesley saw him coming up the road toward the place where he's staying. So he went out the back door, headed for the first ship back to UK, back to England, before it was called the UK. So, you know, men have their issues. You know, we all do. I have my issues, you know. You have yours. But, you know, God hides himself in these vessels of clay for a purpose, because he doesn't want it out for everybody to see. He hides his word and reveals it to them that he has ordained to reveal it to. So, now remember, there is coming a time when we are to see him and he is, as he is, and when we do see him as he truly is, then we are to become like him. But you're not going to see God as he truly is with the eyes of your physical eyes. You're going to see him with the eyes of your heart. That's the only way you can see an invisible being. In 1 John 3 and 2, and we've seen him in this hour. 1 John 3 and 2, beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when he shall fanner, when he shall appear in his true character, at that time we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, this is what I preached on last week about getting within the veil. And when you begin to see within the veil and you see that beauty of God that you just want to be like, and there's something, you know, like when you say something maybe wrong, or you say something indifferent to your children or to your wife or your husband, something corrects you inside, you know, you stop and you say, yeah, Lord, I want to be like you. And so that's what we're seeing. And so we see that there's something that happens to us when we see him as he truly is. And it's not what you do that changes you, but it's seeing him that changes you. Because you will not only know him, but you will understand him. Now, there's a lot of people that follow the message that are identified with the miracles. All right? The manifestations of God through miracles and things like that. But those kind of people followed Moses also, and the Bible says the children saw the acts of God, but Moses knew. He understood the ways of God. Well, God's bringing his children, his adoptable children, to that place of understanding his ways. Now, a week ago, we spoke to you about this last day when God comes down with a shout and brings with him the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself. Now, after the Apostle Paul spends the first half of Ephesians chapter 1 talking about our being predestinated to the adoption of children, he then goes into what our inheritance will be, what it's all about. So let's begin our reading this morning. We're going to read the first 11 verses of the book of Ephesians. Then we're going to, once we've talked about it, we're going to go into the last dozen verses to understand what this is all about. Now, Ephesians 1 and 1, Paul, an apostle. And if he's an apostle, he is one that is sent. So we need to ask ourselves, well, who sent him? And he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So we find out right there who sent him. It was Jesus Christ. And then he tells us that his being sent is by the will of God. He's being sent. God sent him. It's God's will. And now if he is sent, he's going to tell us who he is sent to. He says, to the saints which are at Ephesus. So notice then that Paul was not only sent to the saints, which were the sanctified and set apart ones at Ephesus, but he also says, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, the faithful in Christ Jesus wasn't just in that age, but it was in Martin's age, Columbus' age, Irenaeus' age, all the way up, Luther, Wesley, this age. So this letter is for you. This tells us then, he was also, and therefore this letter is also for all who are the faithful ones in Christ Jesus. Therefore, not only includes the first age, but all groups, all church ages down through the ages. Now, I want you to notice this, because Wesley's message was to the church age in which Wesley lived, which is the Philadelphia church age. And Luther's message of justification was to that age in which he lived and carried over into Wesley's age and our age. But Martin and Columba and Irenaeus and their messages was pretty much for the people in the age that they lived. If you're a student of the Word, you'll also be blessed when you look back on the messages of those men. But their messages were not like Paul's message, in that it was for all the ages, even this age. These men looked back at what Paul taught, as did Luther and Wesley's message. And Paul's message was the alpha of all messages. And since William Branham's message came after all the church ages came to an end, we have to understand, if Alpha becomes Omega, then the first message and the last message are the same. Therefore, the first messenger and the last messenger are the same. And I'm not talking about the veil. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's where people are making their mistake. When he says the message and the messenger are one, he's talking about Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. From his sermon, The Masterpiece, Brother Branham said the Alpha and Omega is the same. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. He never said anything in between. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's it. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. Well, why isn't, if Irenaeus and Martin and Columba and all those brothers preached their message, why wasn't it the same as the first? Because things were lost during those ages. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and things like that were lost. A peace here, a peace there, a peace there. Until the whole thing got polluted. And so God said, I will restore, saith the Lord. So the first message, he says, the first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the last message is the same thing. I was in Alpha, I'm in Omega. There'll be a day that won't be called day or night, but in the evening time it shall be light. See, Alpha and Omega, it's becoming the first and the last. And my brethren, we could stay hours on that, and we certainly could. Now, in paragraph, right before he said in the masterpiece, he said, the Word has become flesh, exactly like he promised in Luke 17 and Malachi 4 and all. See, that's right. Revelation, all true life that was in the stalk and castle and husk is now gathering in the seed, ready for the resurrection, ready for the harvest. The Alpha has become Omega. The first become the last, and the last is the first. The seed that went in has come through a process and become the seed again. And the seed that fell in the Garden of Eden died there, come back from that imperfect seed that died there, come back to the perfect seed, the second Adam. And when he was caught up on the other side, when he was asked if Paul would have to stand with his people, that's what Brother Brown said, because the angel said, you've got to stand with your people. He said, well, does Paul stand with his people? The angel told him and said, yes. They said, well, I only preach what Paul preached. And the people, all of his converts to Christ, they all cried out, well, we're counting on that. You see, there's people who believe that, they say, well, we're counting on what you said, Brother Branham. That's not what he said. He said, I'll preach what Paul preached. And they said, we're counting on that. You see? So what the people were counting on is that William Branham preached what Paul preached. So Paul's message went all the way from Alpha to Omega. But in between, it got watered down and almost altogether lost. But God told us what would happen. And he also told us that he would restore all that was taken away. We can honestly say that it was for this age. We can honestly say that William Branham's message was for this age alone, because it was a restoration of that other age. All right? So this age and the faithful in Christ Jesus are privy to a ministry that restored to us the teachings of the Apostle Paul. Now, Brother Branham said in the sermon what the Holy Ghost was given for. He said, same Holy Ghost, or same Holy Spirit that saved the Lutherans, that sanctified the Methodists, that baptized the Pentecostals, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord. When it'll be so powerful, that body will come into this group of church that'll draw the rest of them from the grave. There'll be a resurrection. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. What is the Holy Ghost? Without us, they cannot be made perfect. They lived in one day under that. We live in another day, but when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. Now, notice here, he says something very interesting. So this ministry, which remember, the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, it's not a man. Like he said, I'm not the Son of Man, I'm a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man. But the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that ministry of Christ in this hour, he said, well, he said that body, which is in the grave, will come into this group church that will draw the rest of them from the grave. So, in other words, the ministry of Paul, now restored, will tie the whole thing together. All right? Bring them up from the grave. Now, the promise of this restoration was made by God himself in the book of Joel 2:25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palm worm, my great army which I sent unto you. Notice, the years. So, in other words, these caterpillars and locusts and things, it's not a tree, it's not a plant that they ate. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual plant. It's the bride tree. All right? And it just got ate away, because it's built from the Word. You're dressed in the Word. And he says, and when I have restored those years, you shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and you shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel. So it speaks of presence, his parousia, his appearing before the literal second coming of the Son of God. And during this presence, you will also know that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And then to let us know the time when this will happen, he also gives us some signs and events to consider. So we will know when this great event of a restored word takes place. Just like when we study the parousia of Jesus Christ, Paul, Peter, James, and John all taught to the church, and they showed us in each one of their scriptures that they gave to us, they showed us the signs and events that were mentioned to identify the time of this great presence. I believe it was 84. 84 mentioned in those 23 scriptures, and 79 of them have already come to pass. So Joel continues in verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All right? And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants, notice not my servants, but the servants, and upon the handmaids, not my handmaids, but the handmaids. So there is no, he has no claim for these groups. All right? In those days will I pour out my spirit. In other words, that anointing is upon all, but it's the word that really comes. Because he said you could be baptized every hour of your life and still go to hell. Baptized by the Holy Ghost. And I will show wonders in the heaven and the earth, blood, fire, and pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So we see there is not deliverance if there is nothing to be delivered from. So after he restores his word, we see the Spirit fall upon all flesh, then comes the tribulation time, and God will deliver the children of Zion in Jerusalem. Now, but first, we see a time of restoration that was in the Alpha and over the ages was destroyed by the army, and will at the Omega be restored again. The seed that was planted in Paul's Alpha ministry of Christ will come to full maturity in the Omega ministry of the Holy Ghost in the end time under William Branham's ministry. Now remember, because Paul says, in that day when my testimony will be believed among you, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Well, that day is when Paul's ministry was basically manifested through a man. Now, from his sermon, True Vine and False Vine, all of his former glory will return to it again. Now, I just want to make one more comment, and I may get into that later. But, so, if Brother Branham only preached what Paul preached, we're not talking about words, although the words do connect. But we're talking about what Paul sowed, the seed that he sowed, is manifest. It's the same seed. It's the same life. You see? But now, it's in a greater measure because it's actually a manifestation of what was sown. That's what we saw in this hour. All of his former glory will return to it again. All that it was in the first place will come back again. I thought, what does God send the wind for anyhow? To shake them trees. Every time you shake a tree, it loosens up the root and causes it to grow deeper and deeper. Every time the Holy Ghost falls on the church in an old-fashioned revival, it shakes up the roots like this so it can get rooted and grounded, ready for the storm and trials as they come upon the earth. Hallelujah. I will restore, saith the Lord, all its former days, all that's been eaten down. One took the baptism out. The other took the joy out. Another took the Holy Ghost out. Another took the healing out. And another took gifts out. And the first thing you know, you ain't got no more than a big old dead, bleak bush standing there. But down under here somewhere, God reserved life is coming on, just the same. The church, and as long as there is an earth here, God will have a church representing him. I will restore, saith the Lord, all the glory of the former days. I will restore what the cankerworm left. I will restore healing. I will restore the Holy Spirit. I will restore the joy. I will restore everything at the first church that the first church had. I will restore it again in the last days, and we are living here in the day when it is. Brother, step off of this thing and get over on here as quick as you can. Amen. So Brother Bram is explaining it here that there's a restoration. These things were lost during the different church ages. They preached pretty much what Paul preached, but the church itself lost their joy, they lost their healing, they lost their baptism, everything else. Now, I want you to understand what Brother Bram said. I only preached what Paul preached. Paul did the planting, and because Paul sowed the word into the hearts of men, but William Bram harvested that word in the hearts of men. One sowed the life, the other harvested that life in a finished, manifested form. The same seed that went into the ground has to come back to seed again, the same as it went into the ground.
for question and answer, COD, Brother Branson. And now, if you notice on your American dollar bill, that great headstone and eye that says the great seal, it will come. And notice those stones. Was anybody here ever at the pyramids in Egypt? Well, if you notice, there's hands there that's up back there. All right, those stones are laying in there so perfect in that top where the cupola, like in the top of it, when that stone comes, it'll be like a great diamond fitting right down in there, just perfect with it. Now, that stone would not fit down there on the bottom foundation, neither would it fit on the second foundation or the third foundation. It'll only fit on the top foundation. And when the entire building has become fitted to that stone, and Jesus cannot come until a church, a body of believers, and the ministry that he once will have to be the same as it was then. And then that brings them without us cannot be made perfect. Paul said, Hebrews 11, without us they cannot be perfected. They must have this ministry to raise up the Lutheran, Wesleyan, all of them down through the ages. When that comes, when that part of where the eagles gathered, just as the carcass is, the eagles is gathered. The question was, oh, it's just perfect. I hope that answers the question. Now, what's he talking about? You know, the pyramid is shaped like this, but, you know, when you get to the top, it's flat because the headstone was rejected. Well, when the headstone was made, Brother Bram said, at the top of the pyramid, there was like a flange. And then on the inside of the capstone, there was a routed out flange so that when it fit down, the flange on the pyramid is like a neck. And when the head fits onto the neck, it's got to be perfect. You know, you couldn't put, I don't know who has the biggest head in here. I don't want to even mention it. But what would you say, Hoss Cartwright, you know, on the old movie from the 50s, you know, he had a big head, right? So can you imagine his head on, say, little Eli's shoulders? I mean, you wouldn't even see his neck, right? Well, so there has to be a perfect fit between the body of Christ and the head. In other words, the life, the way you talk, your actions, and everything else would be the same. That's what he's talking about here. Now, from desperation, Brother Brown tells us, the devil can impersonate any of those things, but he cannot be the Holy Ghost. See, he can impersonate these gifts, but he can't be the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is a token that the blood's been applied because it follows the blood all the way from the book of redemption. See it? That was the purpose of his coming, of him coming. That's what he followed. That's what he followed in every age. Every age he followed that to see that that it's brought forth. And they could not be made perfect without us. And now the entire Spirit visits the church again, making God in human flesh as he did before Sodom, the burning there, which was a type. Then Abraham, he appeared to him, and all the things that he hasn't done down through the age and the church ages, he is now doing. Back to the Word, because the messages and the messages and the messages has to wind up in the entire Word. And in the last days, the seven seals being opened was to pick up every straggle that's been left off in it and make the whole thing in one great big body of the bride, that them who lived back there was not perfect until this church age be perfected, and the bride group in the last days to bring them in and all together to be taken up. See? So in order for the seed that was planted in Paul's day, in order for that seed to come to harvest, remember, it was the same seed all the way through the church ages, but some got scattered, and in the second age, in the third age, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, etc. But at the end of the end, the Lord himself raises up that seed and restores the complete seed in full manifestation of Word and Spirit at this time of the Omega ministry. So it's the same God doing it. Now, let's read from verse 2. All right, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, notice, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus has a God and Father, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he, God, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Now, that word before is a Greek word, katenopion, which means to be before or in the presence of. So he's saying before or in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his grace, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now look, this is all about what he has done, and not a thing about you and I. wherein he hath abounded, he hath overflowed toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So he not only overflows you with wisdom, but prudence. And prudence is a mental activity wherein you do not just know something, but you know also to act upon what you know. In other words, Moses had wisdom to build the ark, but he also had prudence to get into it. You have prudence to apply the token, but you also you have wisdom to know what the token is, but you also have prudence to apply it. Okay? That is why Brother Branham said, you not only hear it, but you must act upon it. That's prudence. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, remember, glory is doxa, who first trusted in Christ. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So that's your down payment for the inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's the redemption of your body, unto the praise of his glory. Now, notice here, he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, after I heard of your revelation, and your love, which is an outward expression of that revelation unto all the saints. Now notice, he says, after I heard of your revelation and outward manifestation of that revelation, I ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. In other words, I am so happy to see that you have not only the revelation of Jesus Christ, but that you are also expressing that revelation towards each other. And because of that, I am waiting for one more thing, he says, and that is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of glory, the Father of doxa, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul was waiting for this thing to take place, to give the people the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. They already had the revelation of Jesus Christ. They already had the love, which is the outward expression of that revelation. But he was waiting for that angel to come down with the full mysteries revealed. I'm going to show you how that is. Now, why would God come down and during this great parousia give us this wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him? In order for you to come to the place of adoption, whereby you will know and understand what your inheritance is all about. From the adoption or placing, Brother Branham said, wherefore I also, now Paul's just telling now what he is. I'll read the rest of this, and then we pray for the sake. Until the possession, this is the earnest until the possession, unto the praises of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, in other words, I heard that you believed this stuff, I heard that you really believed in predestination, eternal life, salvation, and so forth, in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now keep revealing himself to you all the time, growing from grace unto grace, from power unto power, and glory unto glory, not falling back. But from grace, from glory unto glory, keep moving on. I'll keep praying for you that the eyes of your understanding, he says, you know, and the Bible said that you were blind and didn't know it. But here Paul says, I'm going to pray that that your eyes of understanding, you understand with your heart. That's what he's talking about. You look with your eyes, but you see with your heart. Now, you know that, all right, that the God of glory, now let's see, the 18th verse, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. They say the power's gone, the power hasn't even arrived yet. Who believe according to the working of the mighty power, you have believed to the working of his mighty power. I just pray that God will just pour out his power upon you. See, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, might, dominion, and that every name that is named. We could sure take the rest of the night on that. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but that in the world to come. Now, Brother Brown tells us about this in his sermon, The 70 Weeks of Daniel. He quotes, actually, he's making reference to Ephesians 1 here, 18. But you remember Daniel 12. He said, the wise shall understand in the last days. It's been given to him. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel come to Daniel. Now, how did Gabriel come to Daniel? It was one angel to one prophet, right? Just the same as Gabriel come to Daniel, the Holy Ghost comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great deep secret things. Do you understand now? Well, how did Gabriel come to Daniel? One angel and one prophet. And that is how the Holy Ghost comes in this hour. And he brought with him the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him so that we might understand. It's all about understanding. To make the eyes of our understanding enlightened in order to know. That is what Daniel and Paul and William Branham are all saying. That is what the parousia presence is all about. He came down with a shout, which is a message that gives us wisdom and revelation to understand him. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That means to lighten so we might see, that you may know or be aware and perceive what is the hope of this calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance are in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now see, God has given you all the power you need. Brother Brown said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you have enough power to create worlds and go live on them. But you just don't know how to use it. And that's what he's here for this hour. He's given us resurrection power. He's given us, in resurrection power, will get you out of the grave. He's giving you that power. And Paul said, if God's given you that power, then it'll quicken your mortal body. So it's going to have to change this body. Now, from his sermon, Divine Healing, Brother Branham tells us, says, may I, instead of him this morning, standing in quote to this generation, for except a man be born again, he cannot understand these things, the kingdom of God. As he said to Nicodemus of old, you can't understand it, you'll never understand it until God comes into your heart. And you'll be part of him. Then you'll say, well, yes, Lord, every bit of the word is inspired. I believe every bit of it. I believe it's the truth, and here I am, Lord, to walk in the light. As long as you're borderline out there, you can't believe it. You can't do it. May the Lord help you this morning to see the supernatural. Okay, so. Now look, the Apostle Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians 2 that no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. And Paul also says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So it takes the Spirit of God in a man to discern the things of God. And from his sermon, Contending for the Faith, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't understand it. It's a mystic, mythical thing until you're born again. There the very life of God comes in you. Everlasting, eternal life, Zoe, God's own life comes in you. And then you're a part of God. You're a son of God or a daughter of God. And then you see as God sees. And you believe as God believes. Now remember, God believed his own word and created the worlds with it. All right. Now, in the Rotherham, we read from Isaiah 28:8-9, it says, for all tables are full of vomit, filthy vomit. There is no place. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he cause to understand the message? And that's a very good question. Who will God cause to understand the message? Because just to hear it means nothing. You must hear it and understand it. Then you recognize it. And then if you have recognized it, you're going to act upon it. Now, let's read from the expanded Bible, Isaiah 28:8. Every table is covered with vomit. And what is vomit? It's a food for another day. So there is not a clean place anywhere. And the Lord is trying to teach the people a lesson. Who is he teaching knowledge? He is trying to make them understand his teachings. To whom is he explaining the message? But the people are like babies, too old for breast milk, those weaned from the milk, like those who no longer nurse at their mother's breast, those taken from the breast. So these are not infants, but they are just little kids and not fully mature and ready for adoption. In other words, they've been taken from the milk of the word, but they can't eat the meat of the word. They're in that in-between stage where they're just still their little children. Again, both the NIV and the Amplified version say, for all the tables are full of filthy vomit, so that there is no place that is clean. They say, to whom would he teach knowledge, and to whom would he explain the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just taken from the breast? And I believe one of the translations says, I don't think so. They're too young. Now, if we read further, And if they're too young, they're not ready for adoption, right? So it's only for those that are ready for adoption. Now, if we read further, we will see how that those who do not come to an understanding of the message end up going into works and legalism. Let's read on. For it is, do this and do that, that's what the word becomes, that this, do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that, a little here, a little there. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest, and this is the place of repose. You know, this is the place where we're to lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. But they would not listen. So then the word of the Lord to them who will not listen becomes, do this, do that, rule for this, rule for that, a little here, a little there. So that they, as they go, they will fall backward. And to fall backward in this hour and to go back into Pentecost, they will be injured and snared and captured. Again, from the translation called The Voice, Isaiah 28:8 says, there's vomit on all the tables, filth all over the place. The priests and prophets mock. Who is left for God to instruct in knowledge? Who will listen and understand his message? Maybe those infants just weaned off the milk, those innocents just taken from the breast? For here's how it goes. Command after command, command on top of command, rule after rule, rule on top of rule, a little here, a little there. For now that God's people reject his message, he will speak to them through the stammering lips and foreign language of an invader. That's a pretty good translation. Because what's taking place in this hour? This is the way. Here's the rest for the weary. I am showing you rest. But they wouldn't listen to him. And so the word of the Eternal One to them will be just as they said. Command after command. Command on top of command. Rule after rule. Rule on top of rule. A little here, a little there. But they'll go and fail. They'll fall back, broken and trapped, and be taken away by another people. Let this be a warning, the eternal words to you sarcastic jokers, you leaders of Jerusalem. Now you say, well, that's kind of an odd translation because, you know, the other translations don't say that, but, you know, in Deuteronomy it says that. All right? And just as in the Alpha, Israel ended up being overrun by foreigners, Rome, so will America be overrun by a foreigner, Russia. And this is because it is a promise, as one of the curses that Moses spoke in Deuteronomy 20:43, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Why? Because the people didn't hearken to the voice of the Lord their God. So, from is this the time, sir? Brother Branham said, for all tables are full of filthy vomit. There is no place. Who would he teach knowledge and whom would he cause to understand the message? Well, I believe it was Dr. Lamza who wrote the Lamza Bible translation one time, was speaking on, and I didn't know that he was there. And he came back and he was talking about the Urim and Thummim. And he was speaking of that light, and he said, what is the matter with these people today? He said, the reason the people, the translators could not translate the Bible correctly was that the translators tried to translate it in the high Yiddish, and Jesus speaking spoke in the common class, just like the street people spoke. You know, there's a scripture over here in Luke that says the common people heard him gladly. He spoke in their own language. I hope that you see it. So again, so in other words, you know, when you get off and you're so highfalutin, you know, you got to have all your adjectives right, and they listen to Brother Branham say, oh, you know, he's just not educated enough. You know, we need some. Well, they're the ones not going to get it, because God's speaking through the one who speaks the common language. Jesus did that. William Branham did that. Now, from Shalom, Brother Branham said, the elected see, they know it always through every age. They know it. So, you know, people say, well, you know, you don't have to understand, you just have to believe it. He said that to two teenagers that I know. It was only two teenagers. He said, well, you don't have to understand it, you just have to believe it. Why? Because they didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. You believe unto, then you better know. Because if he's in you, you will know. Because he reveals himself. Now, from the message Shalom, he says, and men, how they'll continue on into their creeds and serve under those creeds and things. And they're good people. They're fine people. But yet it seems like that they can't understand. It looks like they can't get it. Why? Well, I go back the next year and instead of getting any better, it's worse. It continues on. Here's a sister that once had lovely long hair. She cut it off. Here's a man that once looked like he took a stand and went out for the things that was right, and he's right back like a dog to his vomit and a hog to his swallow. See, goes right back out in it. It seems like there's something that has struck our people, it struck the world, and they don't seem to have the understanding, and there's something wrong. From hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word, he said, Brother Bram says, speaking of Balaam, he says, he failed with the blindness of his eyes to see the predestinated plan and to see the word of God. First, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Then the believer hears it, recognizes it, and acts on it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but never. Now, hear means to understand. Understand it. Now, look at is looking at something, but to see is to understand. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. Again, from hearing, recognizing his first faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Then the believer recognizes it, and then acts on it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but he hear means to understand it. Look at is something. As looking at something, but to see it is to understand. Except a man be born again, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. Again, from seed shall not be error with the chuck, he says, now, if you take St. John 5:24, and that was one of Brother Brown's favorite sermon verses, and listen to this. He that heareth, what does hearing mean? To understand. He that understandeth my word and believeth on him that sent me has or echoes everlasting life. Now, how would that be so much different from many of our theologies? Now, I could walk out here and say to a drunkard, do you believe? Sure. A man with another man's wife, well, do you believe? Sure. Did you sit in a meeting last night to hear the word? Sure. You believe it? Sure. He's just saying that. But the original interpretation of this word, he that understandeth my word and will believe on him that sent me, he that understands, that is to who it's made known to. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father has drawn him, and all that my Father hath given me, they will come. My sheep, my doves, hear my voice. A stranger, they will not follow. And what is the voice of God? Is the word of God. What's any man's voice but his word? It's the word of God. They'll hear and understand the word of God. Again, from the voice of God in the last days, Brother Branham says, and today one reason that the church is in the condition that it's in is because there's so many voices. So many other voices to attract the church from the voice of God. Till it's very doubtful that many would hear the voice of God, though it speak right in their midst, they perhaps wouldn't even understand it because it would be a foreign thing to them. They have got themselves so much centered on the voices of today. In other words, you could listen to tapes 24/7 and not get it if you don't have the Holy Ghost. See, that is why I'm so against people believing that you just have to push play and you're going to make the rapture. You can push play all day long, but if you don't understand what is being said, you'll never recognize, and then it's impossible to act upon it. You must hear, which means to understand, then you must understand, and once you understand it, you will recognize what it is that you're hearing, and when you act upon appropriately on what you're hearing and understand. And that's exactly what Brother Brown said from the Church Age book, Smyrna Church Age. He says, now, when God is silent, we had better be silent. But where he has spoken, we had better speak too, and say what he has already said. Well, see, people don't believe that. They say, well, we just listen to it. We push play, and we just listen to it, and we don't speak it. You better speak it, because if you don't speak it, how do you know that you even understand it? I'm going to get into that in just a minute. But where he has spoken, we had better speak too, and say what he has already said. And say, not play, and say what he has already said. He told us the evidence, or what would happen after being baptized with the Holy Ghost, was that we would have the teacher come and teach all truth. But that teacher was an inside teacher, not an outside teacher. If the Spirit wasn't inside you, you wouldn't hear the truth and receive it by revelation if you heard it every moment of the day. There you go, right there. Listen to tapes all day long, but if you don't have the Holy Ghost, forget it. That was a sign of the indwelling Spirit in the days of Paul. That's 1 Corinthians 2. Those who were filled with the Holy Ghost heard the word, received it, and lived by it. Those who did not have the Spirit heard it only as carnal men, put a wrong interpretation on it, and went into sin. All right, again from the Church Age book, the Smyrna Church Age, he says, in every age is the age of the Holy Ghost for the true believer. And I say, in every age, the evidence was the same. Those who had the Spirit, the teacher, heard the word, and that Spirit in them took the word and taught it, revealed it to them, and they were of the group that heard the messenger and his message and took it and lived it. How can you live it if you don't understand what to live? And remember, you can hear it and go into legalism too. All right? And one more quote on that from the Church Age books, Morning Church Age. He says, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then, from that messenger, the light spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say, not push play. Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 4:37, if any man think himself to be prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Well, they add here, preaching, pushing play is adding to the message. Or they take away there, and denying what the Scripture says concerning a genuine fivefold ministry is taking away from the message. And soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Now, some people will tell you that the voice of God is the voice of a certain man, but that is not what William Branham himself is teaching. He said it is the Word of God. Now watch. Paul warned them to say what he said. Not play what he said. Say what he said. Even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers, plural, and then say what has been given them to say to the church. Not play what has been given them to play. Say what has been given them to say. All right. Now, where does it say the commandment is to play what he said? The commandment was to say what he said. In order to say what he said, you have to have an active ministry doing just that. Now, I'm not against playing the tapes. I'm all for it. Because I believe William Branham was God's prophet, vindicated by God, and you must hear him say it before you can repeat what he said. If you're just hearing it to hear it, but you're not saying it again, it's not doing you any good. But if you just think pushing a button will help you to understand what is said on those tapes, you're only fooling yourself. If a child never repeated what he heard, he would never understand language, and therefore he would never be able to speak nor to communicate. He hears the words, then he repeats them, and he gets a response to what he says. That is called gratification. And when he receives a positive stimulus, when he says the right thing, he then wants to do it more and more. But if there is a not repeating what is said, he gets no stimulus, and therefore he will never learn to talk. You must hear it, then speak it, and then your understanding grows each time that you do. For that is the way the inner teacher, the Holy Ghost, operates in the church. Now let me read in closing a few scriptures that will drive home this point that I'm making this morning. In Luke chapter 10, verse 16, he that heareth, now remember, hearing is to understand. So he that heareth you, heareth me. He that understands you is understanding me. And he that despises you also despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. All right? Therefore, if hearing you, they also hear Jesus, the Son of God. The voice is his word, and not the vocal cords saying those words. Now, one of Brother Brown's favorite scriptures, John 5:24, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth, he that understandeth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, echoes everlasting life, and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So what is an echo? It is hearing and then repeating what you hear. We read in the book of Revelations that the bride will say exactly what the Spirit says. She doesn't play what he says. It says the Spirit and the bride say, come. Not play come. Say come. Notice they say the same thing. The Spirit says it first, and then the bride says it. And let him that heareth or understandeth say come. and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Again, 1 John 4:6, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, understandeth us, and he that is not of God understands not us. That's why they call the Godhead two gods and everything else. That's why they call the Parousia puke, because they don't understand us. They don't understand God. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now notice, us is plural. Just the same as we've seen in John 14:12, Jesus said, whosoever believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now I know the King James Version says he that believeth, but God's vindicated prophet said, from question and answers, he said, Brother Branham, can any man do the works of Christ unless he was Christ? Well, that's what it is. Unless he was Christ, well, sure. Let's take St. John, 14th chapter, and I want you to look at this. Now, if you can catch it right quick, John 14:12, I believe it is. Well, we'll get to it right quick, and look in what Jesus said about this, all right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he, and then Brother Branham tells us right there, whoever it is, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, any man. The man himself can't be Christ, but the works of Christ will follow every believer. See, he'll do the works of Christ in any man. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do, not I, but he believes in me and has confessed his faith in me and died out to himself, and my spirit dwells in him, and he becomes a part of me. Now, that don't make him Christ. It makes him a part of Christ with the rest of the church, all right? He is not Christ, but because that would be Antichrist, you see. He would be taking away from Christ, but he can do the works of Christ, any believer, all right. Now notice he says in multiple ways that he in John 14:12 refers to number one, whosoever it is, number two, any man, number three, every believer, number four, any man, and number five, any believer. Now, this is the explanation for the question concerning John 14:12 that a vindicated prophet of God gave. And then from his sermon, Sirs, we would see Jesus, Brother Branham says, now according to the scriptures, we are supposed to be written epistles, plural, of him. The Bible says that we are written epistles, and if tonight we would hunger and thirst to see the Lord Jesus Christ, we as Christian believers should reflect his life so much till it would be his entire representative. We should be that. Every Christian should be represent and reflect the life of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? And I believe that every Christian should be reflecting the life of Christ. He said in St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And then we know that that's the truth. That we are the representatives, and if we claim that Christ lives in us, and if Christ lives in us, then we should do as Christ did. We should reflect his life. Well, does that mean to say the same things he said? Now, that same spirit that tries to say no one has the works of Christ in their life but Brother Branham is the same spirit that says no one should preach the message except William Branham. That is exactly the same spirit, and it is a false spirit to say, because they're not saying what the prophet said. Don't you understand that? It's the same spirit in one group, the same spirit in another group. It's the same spirit that says, no, we got to just put it away. No, you can't do the works of Christ. It's already been done. John 8:47. He that is not of God heareth, or not understands, does not understand. He that is of God heareth or understands God's word. You therefore hear or understand them not, because you're not of God. Matthew 13:23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it. See, even the scripture tells you that hearing means to understand. Right there. Which also bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. So the one that can bear fruit is the one that understands. All right? Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So no fruit, there's no fruit possible. Hearing, recognizing is understanding, and then acting upon. There's no acting upon if there's no understanding. All right? So, let us not be among them that hear but don't understand, and see but do not perceive what they see. Matthew 13:10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given to know. For whosoever hath or echoes, to him shall be given. Not for whosoever hath, and then pushes play. But whosoever echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Now you can't echo without speaking it. But whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that he thinks he's echoing. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they actually neither do they understand. So Jesus himself says the fact that they do not hear means they do not understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. In other words, their ears are dull of understanding because they hear the audible sound, but there is not connection with the heart, and therefore what they audibly hear does not register in their heart, and their eyes, the eyes of the prophet, they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed are the ears that understand. Now, in closing, Brother Branham says from the Message Faith, and usually people who have faith are people who have experience. I want you to think about that. Experience brings faith. I think that's the reason that the Bible teaches us. Jesus said in St. John, the 3rd chapter, except a man be born again, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. Now, that's quoting from the original. In the King James, it says he cannot see. But the word doesn't mean see like you look with your eyes. It means understand. You can't see the kingdom anyhow. You must understand it. And Jesus said, except a man be born again first, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. So it behooves us to have an experience before faith can ever accomplish very much. And from blasphemy, look, I'll just say it like this. In my own ministry, I've seen God do certain things when I pray a certain way. Like we had down there in Kentucky, we had the rain. Remember, we had the temperature drop by 100 degrees. Well, I had confidence so that the next time that situation came, I said, I have experience, I have faith. I have experience because he did it that way. I believe he's going to do the same. I prayed down in Argentina. The same exact thing happened. Dropped it by 70 degrees. All right. Same thing with the storm. It was stopped. Then in the morning it stopped. In the afternoon it stopped again. All right. You saw that exactly. So from experience brings faith. From blasphemous names, says, where does all these things come from that I've shown you? Where are they from? I said, here they are. They are in the Word of God. They are thus saith the Lord, his promise. Because I said, all of you bear me record, witness this. My commission is stay with the Word. I said, what's the matter with all of you? Can't you understand the Word? You must understand it. And from the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. So Paul wanted us to have understanding. He didn't want us to be ignorant. Proverbs 4 and 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You know, people want getting this, getting that, getting that. How about getting understanding? 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. Why? Because he manifested, you saw the manifestation, that made you to understand, that we may know him that is true. All right? 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be you children, but in understanding be men. And Luke 24:45. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance. Notice the full assurance of understanding. What does understanding do for you? It gives you assurance. You know that you know. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with understanding also. That's why we don't sing some of those old Lutheran hymns, because they're Trinitarian. So we sing with an understanding. All right, Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Notice, through faith we understand. All right, Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now contrast how God wants us, for us, not to be ignorant, but to understand what His will and His word is in comparison to those that are incapable of understanding His word and His will. Ephesians 4:18. Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Notice their understanding becomes darkened and they go into sin. 2 Peter 2:12. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Also, 1 Timothy 1:7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Finally, in communion message, Brother Branham said, one of his last ones, see, that reason I'm saying this so that you would understand what you're doing. If you walk into anything blindly, you don't know what you're doing. You can't even have confidence if you don't know what you're doing. But you must understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. And it's like, I'll just say it. Brother James was sharing with me about how they had a certain doctor that had performed the same operation twice on his wife, and it was successful and it worked. But now she had to come back for another one. And this time, something had happened to the doctor to where he couldn't be around radiation anymore. So he was sitting back up in a glassed-in booth, and he was watching some young kid in college do the operation. He was jamming this thing up and just causing all kinds of pain. Everything else. So they finally had to just say, pull the plug, we're not doing this. And a person at the hospital said, look, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I will. There's another doctor who's very good at this. This doctor was good, but he can't do it anymore because he can't be in the radiation. And there's constant radiation when they're looking at your body through these, these scopes and things like that. Brother Graham, I remember him saying, if you're going to have an operation done, do you want some kid in college or some kid just out of college, or do you want somebody who's done the operation 1,000 times? All right. So that's what he's talking about here. Brother Ross said, you must understand. You must come with an understanding, and that's the way Christ wants us to come. You have to have faith in what you're doing, and if you don't, you're just going like haphazard. I hope so. It'll never happen. It can't happen. See, you can't have faith if you're going like that. You must thoroughly know what you're doing, what you're going, and know it's going to happen, then you're positive, then it's going to happen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord. We had a lot there to say, all on the same subject of our understanding, the importance of understanding the Word. That's why we should study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And when you know that you know, you're not ashamed of what you know. And so many people are ashamed of the gospel. They just don't understand the gospel. They don't know it. So, Father, we're just thankful that you've helped us to know. And honestly, that's a sign, Lord, of our coming to maturity is when we do understand. And, Father, as we come to maturity, we're getting ripe and ready, laying in the presence of the Son, getting ready for adoption. So we just commit, Lord, our life and our understanding and our living that life. We commit it all back to you. And we might be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee.